Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Oh, have we recorded? Well, Robert, I have a nice
light
8.2% IPA I'm going to be sipping on to start off this podcast, and I'm very excited about it.
Adam, that's Elysian. Oh, pop, crack, pop, snapple, fizz.
How are things, Robert? Awesome. How's it down on Maui? It's doing great here in Kauai.
Are you? I see a little, like, I see shadows, which means you have sun. Like, you have sun. Like, we have no sun. The weather's been ridiculous. Like, everything's closed. All the power's out, like, on the whole island. I'm moving tomorrow. Had to sell my car today. Everything's a mess, Adam. But here we are. This is called dedication to the pod, because I've got a flashlight. I've got three candles, and I've got you in front of me. And we're podcasting because that's what we do.
Robert, that is what we do. And your dedication is not going without notice.
Unnoticed.
It's very, very impressive, and I'm very proud of you. And let's do this thing.
Thank you, Adam. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Adam. So we've got a lot to cover. We've got, obviously, the MLP drafts have taken place. We have the premier level draft. Then we have the challenger level draft, which happened a little bit earlier, a week later after the premier. But the premier dust has settled. The challenger draft happened today. We've got the results to that. This will probably come out after that's been released, of course. So we can dig into all of them. So, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with some of the premier teams? We don't have to go through all of them, but we can kind of go through, sure, just some of the highlights of what we thought the overall.
No, definitely. So what day is this? So this is Monday night. So I think they're going to announce the challenger tomorrow night. So I'm sure that this pod will get released on Wednesday. So Wednesday morning, hopefully.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. So so we'll be up to date.
Right. So Rob, for Premier, as we know, I've been helping out a team, the Hard Eights, really very knowledgeable owner, and has a lot of good insights into the game, yep, into the player pool already. So I was just kind of a little bit of a sounding board, giving him some advice on some players he didn't know as much about, and whatever. And so, Rob, I would say that looking at the player pool for Premier, I think the first inclination of most of the teams would be to go guy girl or girl girl first, given the depth of both sexes. And so kind of our strategy was what was similar. And so we had the 10th and the 15th pick. And what our owner decided, and I signed off on it, as you know, I mean, hey, we're the Hard Eights. We roll the dice, we gamble. So what happened was Richie Tauzon from BLQK had the number 6 pick. And so what we decided was we would switch picks with him from our pick 10 to his pick 6, contingent on us getting Riley Newman at the 6 spot. If Riley Newman was taken before the 6 spot, it was just going to be a wash, and we would just stick with our original picks. And so we ended up getting Riley at 6, and it pretty much changed our entire kind of vibe of the draft, because we ended up going guy, kind of a contrarian type move, where I think a lot of the owners were looking at that girl or possibly guy girl. And so we pivoted and went guy. Obviously that is going to affect us later in the draft with our women, who I think are very, very solid. Yeah. But I believe we are the only team with two real alpha males on the court. And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you guys will, you know, for those of you that don't know, so the Hard Eights, Adam's team that he's been helping out, snagged Riley at the 6 spot, who, you know, I think most people know that Riley's going to be out for that first event, but you guys felt it was worthwhile grabbing him regardless of him missing that first event, just because I think over the past 6 months or so, he's shown that he's arguably the best player in the world. So I think that's a fair, it's a fair move, honestly. And then grabbing AJ Kohler in that second mint spot is, I mean, you got two number one guys in my opinion. So you guys will be easy favorites in every men's match, which, yeah, maybe that's a little bit more pressure, but two studly men. On the women's side, you have Mary Brasha, correct? And then Lindsay Newman, and obviously Lindsay and Riley, super comfortable playing together. AJ and Brasha, Mary, have played a ton together and mixed. Mm-hmm. So you have a team that's constructed and very familiar with each other, and two stud number ones, and in arguably two number two females. So it's it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, right? Because the formula that we've always talked about is having two stronger females because the men's side's deeper, but you have two strong men's players. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And I know it's not necessarily what you expected going in draft day trading up, but you guys still have a pretty formidable team.
Yeah. If anyone knows, if they've done fantasy sports or snake drafts like this MLP, a well thought out plan often goes to shit pretty quickly when you get in the mix of the draft, especially only having 2 minutes per pick and a lot of things going on. So I'm pretty happy with the team. I think that there's definitely some teams that you would consider on paper more balanced than us with men and women. So it's a little contrarian, a little different from the norm, and I'm excited to see what happens. I think we got a real shot to do some damage. Lindsay, not the most dominant left side player, but very comfortable on the left, Mary on the right. So I think our team fits together nicely. We'll just have to get out there in between the lines and see what happens.
Yeah, I think you'll be underdogs for most women's matches, and you'll be heavy, heavy favorites in most men's matches. And you've got two guys that are really, really strong mixed players and two ladies that, are very comfortable playing with these particular guys. So I think you're set up for, a split in gender. And then if we're just talking paper, on paper matchups, you're probably a split in gender. And then, just based on the strength of your two guys, you'll probably be slight favorites in both mixed matches.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair statement for the on paper stuff. And I'm interested on your opinion on this, Robert. So I think that it's pretty clear that if a female is playing with a middling guy, maybe someone, a skilled player, but maybe not the ability to cover a lot of court, I think that the woman is very much the most important player in that partnership. But what do you think about these five or six guys, the AJ Kohlers, Jay Delivers, great mixed player, JW, Colin's brother, Riley. Do you think it's possible that some of these dominant men actually affect the match more than their female partners?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's a really, really touchy balance of how much they need to play, right? Like, because as a dominant male, let's say you have kind of a lower, a weaker female partner that, that's not going to hold up against some of the top, some of the elite ladies, you're going to feel like you need to play more court. And we always talk about this balance, Adam, and mix. It's a precarious balance of, playing aggressive, but not overplaying. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be really easy for some of these guys to overplay and not trust their partners quite as much. I don't necessarily know if that's the right play. But it'll be interesting to see. I think we've always talked about how, your mixed teams always, it's as strong as your female player. I kind of still lean towards that philosophy. Unless you're one of a couple guys in the world. Right. So, I don't think the male alpha role overcomes, like, let's call it a lower Premier League female.
Okay.
I think you're as strong as your female, and the guy should probably trust, if the guy overplays, he gets into a lot of trouble, in my opinion.
No, that's a fair statement. And, Yeah, it's just so not solved, Rob. I don't really know. I mean, there's only been a couple of these drafts. You know, there's been a couple of teams last year that went kind of more guy heavy and some that went more girl heavy and mixed results from both. And I just think it's very exciting that we're, you know, in this league with these players, these drafts and these teams, and no one really is for sure what is the right thing to do. So interesting and exciting. And hey, we rolled the dice and I'm excited about it. And it's going to be a fun season regardless.
Yeah. And if everybody's not aware, it's kind of interesting just from a team owner perspective in terms of, so you've got the premier level owners this go around, and then you have challenger level owners this go round, and at the mid-season part, after three events, they're going to flip-flop. Everything's going to go from scratch. There's going to be new drafts. You're going to have new owners in Premier. You're going to have the current Premier owners being owners in the Challenger. And basically, whichever teams collect the most points throughout the year are going to be dubbed the Premier level teams in 2024. So, I mean, that's a big deal for people that have invested in this league and want to create brands and want to create a revenue source, a business based off these teams. It's a big deal to be in the Premier League in 2024. So, you know, just seeing some of the Challenger draft stuff today, like these owners are taking it, owners and GMs are taking it very seriously in the Challenger League because they want to earn all the points they can get in the Challenger League. So they go into the Premier and set themselves up for a good run at being a Premier League team in 2024. So I kind of like how, I know all this has come together really quickly. There's a lot of details that haven't been ironed out in terms of ads, drops, trades. You know, I asked Brooks about that today and they don't know all the details yet. But you know, props for getting it all together at this level, this quick. You know, we knew it was going to be a, you know, for a lack of a better term, a shit show in terms of getting this ready and getting this prepared for January. But, you know, props to the MLP team for getting it to this point. But yeah, I mean, everybody's taking it seriously. I don't know if everybody understood that, but like Challenger League, you know, wins are very, very important to these.
Yes, and I playing the last MLP event, I believe there was a very small monetary possible bonus, but I was in a mathematically eliminated match where we had gone 0-2 and we were playing against an 0-2 team, and the other two teams in our bracket were 2-0. So all the matches matter for that next year with where you're going to slot in Challenger or Premier. So everything matters, every point matters, every match matters. And, you know, to like you said, to put something together quickly and kind of have that as a factor and to make everything count is great.
Yeah, I've got a little bit more clarity on, I mentioned Riley being gone for your first, for the first event, the January event, because he's going to be in Australia teaching, I believe. So with your replacement for Riley, got some clarity on that. I know we talked about it a little bit. So the Challenger League is going to have half of its teams eliminated by Thursday night. So correct. Out of those eliminated Challenger League teams you guys will get to pick basically a guy to replace Riley out of those teams. So if a team is still alive in the Challenger, let's say I'm playing in Challenger and my team's still alive come Friday, you know, picked up for you guys to replace Riley, you guys have to pick somebody that's been eliminated. So it's kind of interesting in terms of who will be available. It'll be a guy off of a team that's been nixed already.
Yes. So you're exactly right. So before the Premier League starts, half of the teams will be eliminated from Challenger, and that is our player pool. And it doesn't necessarily mean the worst guys will be available. There could be a very, very good guy on not the best team, and he could be available for us to pick up. So, that is definitely a big factor. And, you know, maybe if we had to dip all the way down to player 49 or 50, we might not have made that move. But there will most likely be a pretty talented player there from the Challenger League for us to pick up for that first match. And I've got my fingers crossed that's the case.
Yep.
Let's see here. Yeah. So
you want, Yes. Some teams?
Yeah, let's dig into the team. So I have them right here. I went and grabbed my phone real quick. So we have the New York Hustlers with Anna Bright, Tyson McGuffin, Rafa Hewitt, and Lacey Schneeman. I believe that Anna Bright was the fourth overall pick of the draft. And then they picked up Tyson, as I mentioned, Rafa Hewitt and Lacey Schneeman. So this is kind of one of those teams that's a little bit more balanced than us. But definitely having taken Anna Bright and Tyson McGuffin, they got Rafa Hewitt, the lefty, to pair. And Anna Bright can definitely play right or left. So they will have to have one woman playing the left side with Rafa Hewitt. And I think both ladies are capable of doing that because I know Schneeman likes the left as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's just look at this team. Yeah, I mean, what thoughts on where these people went overall? Just their – so they're, I'm kind of looking on the MLP site here. Their team duper overall is, it looks like, one of the lower ones, if not the lowest. Second – looks like there's second lowest team duper overall. Is that how you see them stacking up in terms of the Premier League? Do you see them as one of the weaker teams?
I would say I'm not exactly sure. I would put them middle of the pack, honestly. I think that there may be in my rankings, I can't remember exactly, but I believe it was just a very, very slight reach for Tyson McGuffin. Maybe just a few picks higher than I had him slotted. Definitely when you have one of those top four, top five, us having the six pick, sometimes it doesn't always plan out perfectly for those second two picks. So I think Lacey Schneeman, very talented. We've talked about her multiple times. Really nice shot maker, but has a big girl job and doesn't put in a full volume of tournament play. So I do believe there is some inconsistencies in her game, even though she is very talented. And Rafa Hewitt, I would lean towards Rafa Hewitt having much more success in his MLP tournaments than I would say in some of the other APP and PPA tournaments. Not that he hasn't had success, but I do think that his star has shined the brightest in that MLP format. So certainly not a reach from him, but maybe some of that recency bias from the MLP events factored into that decision to take Rafa Hewitt. But either way, I think it's a solid team. I really do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, Lacey aside, I don't know if she's played a ton of singles, but three out of four of those players are excellent singles players. So very stacked if they go to the Dream Breaker.
Yes, exactly. And so I believe we have next up one of our more balanced teams of the whole draft. And just a real quick tidbit, from what I gathered, there was a slight run on women early on, but not too drastic, but there was a big run on women in the heart of the draft. And there were, I would say maybe seven or eight or nine of the last 10 picks were men. So a lot of the talented men dropped to that last bit, where a lot of the teams that obviously went girl, girl had both their girls. And a lot of the teams that went guy, girl with their first two picks ended up getting a girl with their third pick. So there was definitely some male talent deeper in this draft. And I think that this team, the Los Angeles Mad Drops, picked up some of that late high-end male talent. Their team is Catherine Parento, Irina Tereshchenko, Julian Arnold, and Thomas Wilson. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you have basically – Catherine's obviously number one female. Irina has also done very, very well in MLP format, so I think you gotta give her props there. Julian and Thomas feels like a very balanced team. I think they both like the left more than the right, so that'll be interesting. I know, you know, Thomas is used to also play right when he plays with AJ Kohler, his cousin. So definitely has experience there. I'd probably expect to see Julian on the left, Thomas on the right. I would expect probably Julian to play with Catherine and Thomas to play with Irina. It'll be an interesting dynamic. Irina can be, you know, very serious focused, which you have Thomas, who's opposite, right? Thomas is very, like, almost Vivian David, very lighthearted, wants to smile, wants to be happy on court. You have Julian, who's very focused and loud and energetic. You have Catherine, who has cranked it up a little bit in terms of the energy lately, for sure, but also kind of more serious. I think it'll be interesting to see how the whole dynamic of team chemistry plays in here, in my opinion. I think that's a big question mark for me, how they all get along, how they all play. But I think obviously very talented team. You have probably two number two guys, and no disrespect to either of them. They're both fantastic, and they're obviously both very talented. So I think you have three basically number two players and one number one player in terms of Catherine Parenteau. So it'll be an interesting team.
Yeah, absolutely. And very, very strong singles team as well. I know Thomas has, you know, not played as much recently in singles, but he's very good. And Catherine, Irina, and play singles all the time, and they're very, very good. Yep. So,
I would actually put Thomas at 4 points at a time, probably the best singles player, in the tournament and in the event, in my opinion. 4 points at a time, that dude is ridiculous.
Wow, Robert, best in the tournament, Thomas Wilson, 4 points at a time. Wow.
I mean, dude's fast. Dude can rip forehands. I mean, I see by that.
I like it. I like strong hot takes, and I appreciate that one. So, really, really solid teams. Los Angeles Mad Drops. Moving on to the California Black Bears (BLQK). That is the team that we ended up making that trade with. So they went from the number 6 pick in the first round to the number 10 pick. And they snagged Andrea Coop, very familiar with her. She won the first event with you, Robert. Am I correct?
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay, good.
She was a rock, as she always is.
Yes, just in case you weren't going to toot your own horn, I will toot that for you, my friend. And
thank you.
They paired up Andrea Coop with Dylan Frazier, Federico Staxrud with the 3 pick, and Maggie Barasha with the 4 pick. So, this is one of those teams that I kind of see slightly more similar to us than that full balance, where they have two clear-cut number one players and then two definite number two players, in my opinion. So definitely, you know, we've seen throughout four teams we've talked about here, there's definitely some differences with, you know, clear cut number ones are more balanced. And a lot of that has to do with your draft positioning. Because as we know, you know, a lot of times on the turn, what they call it for those snake drafts, you get 2 picks in a row. And sometimes when you have that early pick, you have long gaps before you have another pick. And that just kind of breeds more balance or more clear cut number ones and number twos.
Yeah. Just looking at this, I think Coop and Maggie's playing well, and she, I think she's still in school. And I don't know if she's playing tennis or not. I know Mary graduated and Mary's done with tennis and she's focused full in. Not sure if Maggie's still playing tennis, but, regardless, she's an amazing player. She's coming along. She's a great number two female pick, in my opinion. And I think having kind of the seasoned vet with Andrea Coop kind of lead the way will be really solid. I don't think we've seen Dylan play his best pickleball in MLP. So as like you said, the clear cut number one alongside Federico Staxrud, I think it'll be really interesting to see how the men do. And I think Fed's a little bit of a wild card, right? Like he's obviously had great singles results, doing better in mixed, having better men's results. But I definitely wouldn't put him as an established doubles player yet, in my opinion. But definitely on the up and up and training a lot and taking it seriously and playing full time and doing his thing. So it's clearly an upside pick, and he likes the right side. Dylan's going to be great. You know, we always talk about Dylan being probably one of the most versatile players in pickleball, being able to play the left or the right, and being able to just settle in on the left for men's and mixed will probably make Dylan a better player. And to have Fed settle in over on the right, which he likes, will also be very solid. I think, again, I think probably a middle of the road team, maybe a little below average, just my take.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right, Robert. Federico Staxrud is my for sure wild card for this team. So I think that, as you mentioned with him, really taking it seriously, really going for it, really, you know, kind of establishing some more consistency. I would really like to see if he is going to continue to rise, or if he could possibly, you know, plateau sometime early in 2023. I don't think he necessarily has, you know, crazy power or these earth shattering attacks. He's just a rock solid player. And if he adds a couple little tweaks or a couple little things to his game, I really think he can take a step up, or he might just settle in as a very kind of solid average player. And you know, that's fine as well. That is definitely my wild card for this team.
Agreed.
Next up, we have the Cabo Vamos. This team is Jay DeVilliers, Simone Jargin, Elise Jones, and Eric Lang. What do you think about this one, buddy?
Yeah, I would say probably, and this is the hard part about the podcast, right? It's like, it's hard to just give your actual opinion without it coming back to bite you in the ass in some form or fashion. But here we are, Adam. So I would say this team's, in my opinion, probably one of the lower rated teams in the league. Simone, right? Was the number one?
Yes, Simone was the number two pick, correct.
So Simone, Elise, Jocelyn, and Eric. Yeah, so yeah, the women's side, I mean, what we do know is they're going to get a ton of balls back. You know, I thought Elise played amazing over the weekend at the Bubbly Team Championships, PPA in Vegas. You know, it was fun. I hadn't actually watched any full matches of hers in a while, and it was really, really fun to watch her play and just dig out balls. And you know, she's probably one of the hardest working people on tour. And it's really cool to see, you know, how much she's gotten better, because she handled a lot of aggression from a lot of guys with relative ease in terms of just resetting, getting balls back, getting the team back, getting her and her partner back in a neutral position. So I thought she was excellent. I think one concern here with her and Simone is that I just worry that Simone is going to try to be too aggressive and try to create too much when, you know, obviously, in my opinion, her game is predicated off of just being an absolute rock solid player, never missing, basically the same as Elise in terms of just able to kind of get balls back to neutral, reset, kind of, you know, get out of tight spots and kind of reset the point and be solid and counter and win like that rather than having to create. So my concern for the women is that they try to create when they shouldn't. I hope, and a lot of that's based off of, you know, how Simone's feeling and how her body's holding up. And sometimes she feels like she, you know, points need to be a little quicker because she's playing the long game in her head of like, okay, well, I've got this match, I've got this next one, I've got this next one. What if we go to singles? So, you know, she's looking at it as at the macro level in terms of how to manage everything. So we might see it in one game where she's attacking more than we probably want her to, but she's thinking, okay, well, if I stay out here for, you know, 80 ball rallies, then I'm not going to be able to last later. So, you know, and that's the positive of having Simone on your team is she's probably one of the smartest people on tour in terms of how to manage it and how to last the whole tournament and prepare. So that's the women's side. Men's side, you have Jocelyn, who went pretty high overall, like way higher than I thought he would. Generally speaking,
third man, seventh overall, I believe.
Third man, seventh overall, in my opinion, is much, much too high for where he got picked as a number one. Eric, obviously a fantastic men doubles player, needs to assert himself more. He's not going to argue with us. He needs to assert himself more in mixed and be the big guy that he is. Because if he does that, and, you know, he's so big and so long, covers so much court that he could be a dominant mixed player. I just don't think he's played probably quite enough at the highest level. But I think if he works on that, he's a beast. So and men's, they'll be good. The issue is they both want to be on that left side, that's for sure. So you have two left side players, which is a little bit of an issue. Mixed with, I would imagine it's going to be Jocelyn and Simone, which will help Simone because Jocelyn's big and long and he can cover a lot of court. And I think Jocelyn's best event is mixed, in my opinion, because he plays best when he's moving. Eric, if he can play, you know, if Eric can be an aggressor in mixed, him and Elise will be absolute, because Elise will get a million balls back. Eric just needs to kind of assert himself and be aggressive. Singles will be a little bit of an issue because Jocelyn's really the only true singles player remaining, because Simone can't move as well as she used to. Elise doesn't play a lot of singles at a high level, and Eric doesn't play much singles. So if it goes to the Dream Breaker, they're going to be in trouble, in my opinion. But again, that's, you know, I would say middle of the pack to the bottom of the pack for this team. Sorry, that was really long winded.
No, it's okay. And I thought this, so I won't touch too much on Cabo Vamo since you went for it there, yeah. Robert. But I thought it was interesting that at this bubbly team championships. Now, let's be clear, it seemed like they were changing the rules or the format every single match and every single day, so I'm not exactly positive. But on the semifinals and the finals, Riley was playing with Elise. And Lucy Kovalova and another really good lady, I can't remember who, was on that team. So I thought that was interesting that I don't know if that was Riley's choice, the team choice, or just how it slotted out given the weird format. But I thought that if that was the choice of Riley or the team, I think that says a lot given the talent that was on that team to pick Elise to play. And like you said, Robert, she played very well. Good for her.
No, Elise is a boss, man. She's, I think super underrated.
Yeah, okay. And next up, Robert, we have the Florida Smash. And so here's my question for you on the Florida Smash, Robert. As we all know, Travis Rettenmeier is a big fan of Travis Rettenmeier. But would Travis Rettenmeier be in the Premier League if Travis Rettenmeier didn't draft Travis Rettenmeier?
Probably not.
I know, I'm just messing.
Probably not. Just purely but purely because he wants the left side, and I think there's too many good left side players and not enough guys that are comfortable on the right. It's fascinating, right? Because he picked himself with the first men's pick of the Florida Smash, which Travis loves.
Travis. So, I mean, my question was obviously a little bit of a joke as
no,
well, but just to go through the squad, we have Jesse Irvin, Georgia Johnson, Travis Rettenmeier, and Colin John. So this is that perfect example of two heavy hitting ladies early, and then filling in the roster with two very solid males. And also another thing I noticed at the Bubbly Championship, Colin played a little bit of left, and he did not play the left poorly. So I know you mentioned just a second ago that Travis Rettenmeier would like to play that left side, but I was pretty impressed with Colin's game on the left side this past tournament. I know that's a small sample size, but just something to monitor with this team. Two number two guys, in my opinion, and two clear-cut number one ladies for the Florida Smash.
Agreed. Contrarian here is I'd probably put Georgia as my number one female on this team.
Oh, there's no question in my mind. If I was going to pick a team, I would have Georgia Johnson over Jesse Irvin. And I don't think a ton of people would agree with me there. But that's where I stand with that. And I mean,
well, Adam,
yes,
Georgia's playing PPA next year. I think, and this again, going to be a contrarian take, but I think you look at Georgia Johnson, call it June or July, I think she's top five PPA female. Like, easy.
Super.
She's been destroying the APP. Hasn't been playing really the top talent. She's going to be able to play all the top dogs in the PPA. I think we talked about this before. I think Georgia is going to be, you know, not number one in 6 months, but I think she's got all the raw talent and all the tools to be number one. And I think everybody's going to see that this year.
Oh man, the hand speed and the power. If she uses her legs a little bit more, you know, intensifies a couple things, and let's not forget that she's a dang child, just like Anna Lee. There is so much age related upside with these young bucks and these youngsters. I am very, very impressed with Georgia Johnson, and I love her game. And to be honest with you, if we would have not gotten Riley with the 6 and gone with the 10, I think it was very reasonable that we were going to take Georgia in that slot.
Yeah, that would have been a great pick. And I just find it interesting, man, because I saw a photo from Dom Catalano of a Moneyball tournament that we did in Florida, like probably mid-2020, so a little over 2 years ago, and Georgia played with J-Dub. And just like, I think I just want to kind of explain that you don't always see like these meteoric rises right out of the gate, right? Like, it's not always like you come in, it clicks, and you're just amazing. Like, sometimes it takes like a couple years of grinding and getting better and playing a lot of matches and getting experience. And that's how it's been for Georgia, and not only Georgia, but Jada too as well. Like, cause Jada was in that Moneyball, and it's been the kind of the same thing of like slow, steady incline, and then something clicks, and then boom, you're right there and you're in your top five, top 10. So it's been really cool to see their progression, and yeah, big props to the Johnson family.
Yeah. And I just think I think you're exactly right. Skill growth is not linear. Sometimes it's just figure it out and you blow up. Sometimes it's gradual. So I think that's an important topic and thing to talk about. And I just always go back to, I don't know what this was. I think this was around 2 years ago, maybe a little bit less. Corinne and myself lost to JW in Georgia and mixed and just thought it was the biggest disaster ever. Like, it was just the worst, worst loss. We couldn't believe it. You know, how do we lose to someone else? Don't lose to JW in Georgia. And, you know, sure enough, a couple months later, a year later, it's, you know, like the most obvious loss that we could have had in the tournaments we played together. So I like the Johnsons. And as I always tell Georgia, she's the best Johnson.
Fact.
Okay, moving on.
Next team, Adam.
Yes, next team, the Las Vegas Night Owls. Another one of these very well-balanced teams. Vivian David, Dekel Barr, Lauren Stratman, and Kyle Yates. So I believe the first pick was Vivian David as the right side player with the first pick. I think she was the first right-sided player picked in the draft at number 8 or number 9. Got Dekel Barr, Lauren Stratman, and Kyle Yates. And the Lauren Stratman pick was actually part of a trade. So starting off the third round, the second pick of the third round, I believe it was Dave Fleming's team, so Colin's brother's team, and they said that they wanted to do a little bit of business and trade that pick. And the Night Owls took them up on that offer and selected Lauren Stratman, who was one of the only clear-cut left-side females left in the draft. So that's kind of what happened there. And it's a very, 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 very solid team.
Yeah, so the Las Vegas Night Owls, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. And I mean, we have, you know, more than anything, the big question mark with this team is team chemistry. You have Dekel Barr and Kyle Yates. You have Dekel Barr and Lauren Stratman. You have Dekel Barr and Vivian David. And you have Dekel Barr has had beef with all of these people over the last year and a half. So it'll be interesting to see how this team plays out team chemistry-wise, because I mean, it's no secret that Dekel and Vivian were playing together you know, till mid this year, and then kind of separated and found new partners. So, the big question mark here is, will everybody get along? Will everybody fight together? Will everybody, come together? I know Kyle wasn't necessarily, you know, when I talked to him about playing some tournaments, he was just saying, hey, I'm probably not going to play very much in 2023. Don't know if I'm going to play MLP. I'll probably play like a few different tournaments, but that's probably it. I'm going to start looking at different career choices. So, you know, pretty interesting in terms of that selection, in terms of, you know, how dedicated and determined you are to do well. So I don't know. We'll see. It's a lot of question marks. Obviously all talented players.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that this is one of those teams that there isn't a lot of upside. And what I mean by that is every one of these players is already very established and very, very good. And so, on paper, I think they're awesome. I think they're great. But I don't really see any of these players making a big jump because they've all been playing a long time and they all play a lot. So no knock on them whatsoever. I think it's a great balanced team. But I definitely see there's going to be somebody or a couple people throughout this Premier League that just step up and kind of come out of nowhere and are just play big and play studly because they haven't been playing long or they just have that talent in them and they're ready to unlock it. So these players are what they are, and what they are is very good. And I think it's going to be a tough team to compete against.
Yeah. And I'll say one thing. I mean, they are very balanced in terms of right side, left side as well. You know, Declan's a clear cut left side player. Kyle's a fantastic right side player. Viv, arguably the best right side player in the women's game. Lauren Stratman, a lot of weapons, a lot of firepower on the left side. So, you know, in terms of gender and in terms of mix, you know, Kyle's also a very good mixed player. I would say very underrated and mixed, actually. And let's not forget singles. I mean, every one of these players is a star in singles. Like, you know, Kyle might not get a lot of credit, but when he plays singles, he beats very, very good players. So I think this team's going to be sneaky good as long as they can all get along.
Right. Totally. I think that's a fair assessment. Next team up, Robert, we have the Milwaukee Mashers, another very, very balanced team. We have Callie Smith, Lucy Kovalova, very comfortable with each other, playing a lot of women's together. And they paired those two ladies with Andre Deescu and Darian DJ Young. Very dangerous team, very tall team. I think that there's a lot to like with this team. And what are your thoughts, Rob?
I mean, this is a high ceiling team, in my opinion, depending on which DJ you get. Andre, you kind of know what you're going to get. He's very solid. You know, he's not going to make a lot of errors. He's going to be Andre. He's going to be long. On the women's side, you have Callie, Lucy, who play a ton together. They're very familiar. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be underdogs in any women's match. They're probably going to be heavy favorites in every women's match. And at the same time, like, it's not so dissimilar from your setup in the reverse, Adam, in terms of the hard eights of having two studly guys. But I would say Milwaukee Mashers are probably a little stronger on the opposite gender side. You know, you have Kohler Newman, you know, they've got Lucy Callie, maybe not as dominant on that side, on the strong side. But having Andre and DJ, I mean, DJ, when he's playing well, can very much be a number one guy. But that's based on potential and talent, right? Not necessarily based on consistency and results. So that's the big question mark here, is which DJ is going to show up. And that's always kind of the question mark, especially when he's not the alpha. So if DJ is going to be the right side guy, which I would assume he's going to be the right side guy here, how does he manage it? How does he accept that role? That's going to be the big question. And mixed, he'll be able to do his thing and be dangerous and create. So I think this team could be one of those teams that wins it all or comes in last place. I mean, it'd be hard to see them come in last place, but it would be like I see this team easily making the semis.
Yes. No, I think it's very well balanced. Nothing to really pick on. And I think you said it well with a very, very high ceiling, team. Next up, we have the Frisco Clean Cause, which kind of went in the same, one of the few teams that went the same route as the Hard Eights. They went with two guys first and then two ladies. So their team is Zane Navratil, Matt Wright, Yana Gretchkina, and Lena Pedegamaite. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is this is probably one of the stranger team constructions. Would you agree, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's very, like I said, very similar to our team. But no knock to Zane Navratil and Matt Wright, who have just incredible talent and incredible results. But I think yep. that our guys are a little bit more dominant than their guys when it comes to both men's and mixed doubles. And I think that our ladies pair up about evenly with theirs. So I think it's one of those few teams, like I said, that went two guys first. And I would say that they certainly can come together and play well. But I like our construction a little bit better than theirs. And, you know, that's obviously me being biased to my own team. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, you have two number two ladies, and I think you have honestly two borderline number one guys. I think Zane probably went higher than I thought he would, probably higher than he thought he would, to be honest. Yeah. Matt Wright, what was he picked? Do you know the number?
I don't know the number, but Zane was the first male pick. So every team that I've listed has been the order that they were drafted. And I
got it.
I mean, obviously Zane is significantly better at Matt than singles, but I think it's a bit of a reach to have Zane ahead of Matt, as Matt is, you know, pretty dang established in both variants of doubles play.
Yeah, I think clearly better in men's. Mixed, it's Matt's play with strictly Lucy, so yeah, I think that's the big question mark, is how he pairs with other females. So that'll be interesting to see. I didn't see a ton over the weekend with the rally scoring at Bubbly with Matt playing mixed, but and it also, you know, it wasn't, I don't know how serious, quote unquote serious, the team championships for the Bubbly championships were in terms of what's on the line. But I know when stuff's on the line, Matt Wright's going to show up and he's going to ball out. So, but I guess my point was, I don't think his results are fantastic over the weekend and mixed with different partners other than Lucy. So that's a big question mark in terms of how Matt will do in mixed with new partners. You know what you're going to get in men's with Matt. I mean, elite hands. He's been top four for the past 10 years. Like the guy's staying power has been ridiculous, especially for his age now. It's really, really, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's done at the age he's at. And I think people kind of get annoyed with his commands and his demeanor on court. I like it, but other people get annoyed with it. But I think he's a stud on court, and there's a reason Riley wants to partner with Matt Wright, because he's that good. So I think as a men's team, they're going to be really, really dangerous. Women are obviously going to be a little bit less formidable. They're going to be tough. They're going to have a tough go of it in women's, in my opinion. But Lena can be very good in mixed. She's a little stronger on the left, so a little surprised they didn't look for a right side guy, like a lefty. But Yana, obviously very dangerous, solid PPA player. I think the kind of the running theme here, Adam, is what makes MLP so exciting is you get so many new partnerships, so many new matchups. We have the rally scoring format, which anything can happen. It's just super exciting and super fun to see how it all plays out. But, you know, we're doing a lot of speculation here, but we really have no clue on how all this will play out.
No, definitely right. And I think with those two girls, Lena and Yana, they definitely have they have some firepower. I think that they occasionally lack some consistency, or they have some up and downs. So to compare this to our team, we have kind of the more solid rock type girls, and Lena and Yana might make some more mistakes or have some dips in play at times, but they have some big firepower as well. Lena is probably about 6 foot, and Yana, for being so tiny, can really rip the ball. So if one or both of those girls step up, this team might surprise some people.
Yeah, and honestly, Adam, the having the firepower versus the consistency, I would say the firepower is more rewarded in rally scoring. Like so for like a Rafa Hewitt or somebody that plays a little bit more aggressive rather than consistent and conservative, I believe that rally favors aggression.
Interesting. Okay. Hot take, Robert. I like it. Okay. Moving on. ATX Pickleballers. We have JW Johnson. We have Jackie Kawamoto and Jade Kawamoto and Gabriel Tardio. Thoughts on this squad, ATX Pickleballers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Kawamotos are underrated anymore. I think they're probably rated where they should be. So they're finally getting the credit and the respect they deserve, even though they don't play necessarily a full schedule. I think they've signed on with PPA and they plan on playing at least a solid slate of tournaments, which is fantastic to see because they're rocks. Like we talk about all the time, they're just studs. So I think on the women's side, what more do you want than sisters that know each other's game perfectly well and that can compete with anybody out there? So I think on the women's side, they are really, really good. Obviously, being able to partner one of them with J-Dub is that's going to be a tough team to beat as well. I think the real wild card here is Tardio. I mean, I think, Jay, I don't think it's any secret. Like Gabe travels with the Johnsons quite a bit. Practices with them. So this is purely the Johnsons taking a flyer on Gabe and hoping he can be that guy that can support J-Dub on the right and play that role and obviously play a big role in mixed. Both guys are solid in singles. J-Dub's obviously one of the top five, I would say. Tardio not quite there in singles, but still can rip winners and good singles player. Kawamoto's don't play a lot of singles, but don't discount them. They are solid when they do play singles. They get results. So I think it's a good team. I just think Tardio is a huge wild card, especially for where he got picked. What number was he, Adam? Do you know?
I have no idea. El Bandito Gabriel Tardio.
Yeah, it surprised me where he got picked. So it's. I mean, he's obviously it's an upside play. So he's a young kid. He's got great upside. Probably lacks some of the decision making and some of the reps and that kind of thing. So we'll see. But they're obviously leaning towards the upside, which is not necessarily a bad play in MLP.
Yeah, you're right, Robin, and that's obviously you have to put the wild card as Gabe Tardio. And I think he was picked pretty early, like 18, 19, or 20. So there were several guys picked after Gabe Tardio, and I could be a little bit wrong there. But I personally am not 100% convinced that Tardio is there yet. Let's be clear, he's 17. I love the kid. Have a great rapport with him, and I think he has a ton of talent. And I'm calling him out right now to prove me wrong. I'm going to say, Tardio, you're not quite there yet. Prove me wrong, buddy. Prove me wrong, and you got the talent to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised to hear anybody think that Tardio should have gotten where he went in the draft. Right. But hey, yeah, this is an opportunity to show that he belongs there. So J-Dub took a flyer and. I think we've seen J-Dub do it in the past, right? Where he chooses, I think it's, I don't know who he did before, but he's been known to play with people that he has tight rapport with and is friends with. So, here. It'll be interesting to see how Tardio, steps up.
Yep, definitely. All right, moving on to our next to last team. We have the Seattle Pioneers. We have, with their first pick, they went with the second highest ranked PPA player in the family with Colin's brother as the one picked. We have Etta Wright as their second pick. Megan Sheehan Dizon with the third, and Tyler Leung falling all the way down to, I think, pick 43 or 44 or something along those lines to round out the squad. And I will say this, Robert, we did our pre-draft rankings, myself and the Heart Eight's owner, Timothy Parks, and we had a conundrum with Etta Wright. And if we did not pick AJ Kohler with that, I believe it was the 19th pick in the draft, we were going to go with Etta Wright, who went a couple picks later. And to be honest with you, I'm not really sure that either pick was a bad one. I think both players fell a little further than I had them ranked. So I'm not sure we could have gone wrong with Etta Wright or AJ Kohler. Pretty solid team. I think probably the only real hole that you could call out for this squad is a little bit of a small sample size from Etta Wright, even though she's got a humongous amount of talent. She really has only had rock solid results in a handful of tournaments just because she hasn't played a lot of tournaments. And then, of course, Megan Dizon, who hits it big, plays big, has a ton of talent in that paddle, but occasionally has some bouts of inconsistencies when she does play. What do you think about the Pioneers?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Adam. I think, you know, I think Etta is, while she has a ton of upside and they're banking on that, and I've been on the record saying Etta's phenomenal and she's so good, and she is. I don't know if she's a clear-cut number one pick. I really don't. Like you said, sample size is so small. Like, we haven't seen a lot. Like, and what I did see over, like, I didn't see a ton of her play over the weekend, but I saw enough and, like, a little underwhelmed Bubbly. And I don't know how serious Bubbly was. It seemed like it was a full-on kind of large exhibition. But Etta didn't look quite as good there, in my opinion, based on what I did see of her. And yeah, spot on with Megan, like can play fantastic, and especially with that aces paddle, can hit the hell out of the ball. But I think women's could be, and I also see both of them as kind of left side players, Megan and Etta. So, it'll be interesting to see how they set that up. Obviously with Colin's brother and Loom, you've got a clear left and right. I found it interesting that they went with, Loom over CJ for that men's pick. Surprised, but not surprised, right? He has to play with CJ based, you know, he has to play with CJ. I'll just leave it at that. And I don't know if it's by choice. So yeah, this team will be interesting. I think the women are clearly the weak spot. The men should be fine. Mix should be interesting. Yeah, and obviously the gender women's side will be a little weaker. So I think they're going to be a fine team. I don't think they're by any means, like, you know, top tier or in the running to win it necessarily. But we shall see.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a fair assessment. And that was the one thing that was sad when we went for the two guys first, is that there was a big run on the ladies, like I said, in the heart of the draft. And just to see the Tyler Leungs, the Thomas Wilsons, the Andre Dayescus kind of going in those last five or six picks was definitely a little bit sad, because those guys are pretty deep and they're pretty solid and, you know, not a lot of holes in their game. So, you know, just one of the, one of the sad parts about going guy first off is letting that talent fall. And I think it was a good scoop with Tyler Leung, who I think it's fair to say right now that is a little bit better than CJ at mixed and singles. So yeah, I think it's a very solid team. And if Megan plays well or Etta takes it one notch further up, it's going to be a lot to handle for this squad. So last team in the Premier, Robert, we have the New Jersey Fives selecting Annalee Waters, number one overall, shocker. James Ignatowicz as the two pick, Leia Jansen as the three pick, and then rounding out the squad with Hayden Patraquin. What are your thoughts on the New Jersey Fives, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, easy choice with AL at one, right? And then beyond that, I mean, I haven't seen Leia too much on the right side, but AL with anybody is going to be probably a favorite, right? So they're going to be tough to beat in women's, clearly. And whoever AL plays with, probably Ignite a Witch. And mixed, they're going to be tough. Hayden is probably, to me, he was the stretch for Premier. That was an interesting choice to see him get snagged there. Because I think, you know, if you're looking at Dupree, he's probably in the 30s-ish. I'm not sure exactly what. But, yeah, so, you know, not surprising with AO. Honestly, I was surprised with James going as high as he went. I think he went as the 11th guy, first-round guy, mm-hmm. which I wouldn't have put him there. So I'm looking at, like, I see... You know, we were talking about this for Newport, like, you know, and obviously James, like we had him on the podcast, like he's all in on pickleball. So he's got high upside. He's getting much better. He's improving kind of every week, every tournament. So I get the pick, still pretty high in my opinion as the 11th guy. But obviously great singles player, very good in mixed, better, getting better in men's. But I would probably put him not that high in terms of being a number one guy. And then I think they probably with Hayden. Hayden's a great player. He's getting better. Not going to be a huge force in mixed, even though he's had great success with Maggie. And prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, Big H. Yeah, you very well might. But I see some holes. What do you see, Adam?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And it was taking Annalie first, that means that they came back through with the 24th and the 25th pick. So that was the Ignata yeah. with Leia Jansen combination. And I'm going to say exactly what you said about Hayden Patricwin. Really cool customer, really cool cat. Lots of talent in that paddle, so some really good shot making. And I'm going to say the exact same thing I said about Tardio. I'm not quite sure that he's there yet. And I'm excited to see either one of them prove me wrong. I will absolutely eat my words. I think I would not have picked either one of those players in those spots, but the talent is there. It's not like it's a bad pick. I just would have favored a couple other more solid, consistent players in those spots. And hey, if they come out on fire, tear it up in these first couple tournaments, I won't be sad about it at all. And I'm excited to see what the Young Bucks can bring.
100%. Do it, Big H. Do it.
Do it, Big H. Do it, Tardio. Prove me wrong. I love to see the youngsters come in playing well, and I really like both of those guys. So I'm pulling for them.
100%.
I just can't say if I was the GM or owner of one of those teams, I would have made that selection. But like I said, let's go. So that rounds it out. That's the Premier League, Rob. That's the 12 teams.
Yep.
Very exciting stuff. And I think if anyone's done, I've said this a couple times, if anyone's done a fantasy draft, you kind of know that the first handful of rounds, you can't really go that wrong. You can even have the computer pick for you. You know, you're going to get a solid player. But when we moved over to the Challenger draft, which we had today, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. A lot harder to value the players, a lot harder to rank the players. There's a lot of full-timers mixed in there. There's some part-timers. There's some people that only play occasionally. There's some talent. So it was very interesting in the Challenger draft today, and I was very shocked by some of the picks today in the Challenger draft. You were picked in that draft, Rob. Start us off telling us a little bit about your squad.
Yeah, so I was a little surprised. Like, you know, draft was, I think, at 10:15. I didn't get a text or a call until probably an hour later, meaning I did not go very early in this draft, which surprised me, to be honest with you. I thought I would have gone first few picks just purely based on results and stats and experience. But I went 19th overall to the Brooklyn Aces. I was the 7th men's pick, which really surprised me. But hey, you know, I haven't played much this year. Recency bias is a real thing. I'm coming. But going 19th, what happened was I believe, this is just what I believe, is that our team, the Brooklyn Aces, which is, you know, Kevin Durant's ownership team, Rich Kleiman, they got at the sixth pick, they got Sierra Gaten-Leach, maybe Gaetan, I don't know how to say that. But CGL, got CGL as the number one lady. We got me as the number one guy at 19, 17th men's pick. And then we picked up Corinne Carr, the prof, your wife, at number 30. And then we got Greg Dow, underrated, little known baller, right side player. He's a big boy. He's got hands of thunder. He's got ridiculous counters. He plays mostly with Anderson Scarpa, based in Charleston, I believe, but very, very, very talented player, big guy, going to be good and mixed, solid singles. And I, this is a very biased opinion, but I think we have easily the best team in the league. I think we have the number one female in the league, and I think we have the number one male in the league.
Well, there's 12 teams in the league, Rob. It's hard to have the number one female and the number one male. So somehow you pulled it off, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I'm very much wearing my GM hat right now and not my husband hat, but I think that y'all's squad is the best as well, especially in doubles. I think it's very, very good, and I don't see any real weaknesses on your squad at all, except for, you know, maybe a pregnant lady having the baby a month early or something like that is probably the only thing that can mess with you guys. Very, very happy with the squad, and you know, if I'm not gonna play, I want Corinne to be on a good team, and I think she very much is. Robert, the first pick of this draft was someone by the name of Sam Querrey, who I got to see play a little bit at the Bubbly Championships. We've mentioned it a couple times. That was a slight serious and exhibition vibe in some of the matches. Some of the matches were very serious. Some were a little lighter. But I'll tell you right now, I am not 100% sold that Sam Querrey is a 5-0 player. And to be taken first overall in the Challenger draft was pretty dang shocking to me. What are your thoughts on Sam Querrey being taken first overall?
No, come on. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. He's never played a tournament. People got to see kind of like what he is made up of over the weekend, and nothing against him. He just hasn't played any tournaments. He hasn't played a ton. Like this weekend was probably the first high level pickleball he's actually ever played, which means yes, he can get better, but to take him number one overall is an absolute joke. Let's just be honest. And DC pickleball team, whoever you are, you should be ashamed.
Tell him, Robert. I love it. I love it. Way to not hold back there.
I did. I just told him.
Yeah, really.
It's bad. Come on.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I mean, I think he had a pretty solid shoulder high forehand slap, and that's really the only shot that I saw that was really. He looked fairly awkward on some of the soft stuff. Looked a little uncomfortable when he was being attacked, and you know, I'm oodles of talent, obviously great racket sport guy, lots of height, lots of room for growth. But I think in this exact moment, you know, I'm not sure I would have him in the top 75 players. His buddy Jack Sock, on the other hand,
he was good.
Pretty ridiculous.
He was real good. I'd love to see him play full time.
Yeah, he moves like a gazelle. He's got a loose arm and can slap the hell out of the ball. He has power counters, and he has soft blocks when he's getting attacked and a little bit fooled. Yeah. Electric hand speed. The sky's the limit for that guy. From what I saw, I'd probably put him at 35 to 45 right now with crazy, crazy upside to squeeze into the top 10 in short order if he really, really went for it. Yeah, that's what I saw from the tennis players, the tennis pros this weekend in the Bubbly. And, you know, just to throw in analysis of Sock with the Querrey going number one, That's kind of how I saw things in a very small sample size this weekend.
Yeah, no, for sure. So beyond that, though, we've got so on that team, DC Pickleballers, or DC Pickleball team, we've got Sam, we've got Stefan Auvergne.
Auvergne. It's just Auvergne. It, don't worry
is
about
it, though.
Team.
Is
yeah,
it
don't
though?
Worry about the team, yeah.
Okay. All right. Stefan, Shelby Bates, Monica Palicelli. So I would say on the female side, you have two number two ladies. On the men's side, you have one number one guy, Stefan, and one number three man, Sam.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think it's fair. I think it's fair. And, you know, I mean, like you said.
Apologies, Sam. All I wanted from you was to play a tournament before the draft. That's it. Just play a tournament. Show what you got. Don't expect – like, come on. Like, you can't expect to get drafted premier, you know, without ever playing a tournament. Or – and come on, to go number one in the Challengers – to me, it's wildly disrespectful to all of these players that play all the time. That's my take.
No, that's your take, and your takes are always hot, and they're always bad cop oriented.
And they always hurt me, Adam. They always hurt me. But hey, yeah, and I'll keep doing it.
And from what I've heard, he's a super cool guy. I've had a couple playful interactions with him online. Wes Burrow's super cool and you know, says he's a great guy. So this is no knock on him. This is just, you know, we're just talking about pickleball talent. And I think that I am going to go out and say that I agree with pretty much your assessment of that situation. But let's move on a little bit from that as we have definitely given our opinion. The number two player taken in the draft was Michelle Esquivel with the Utah Black Diamonds. I believe that's a little play on skiing. I don't know much about skiing, but I think Black Diamond skiing, right?
Yeah, that's really good, Adam. Yes, well done.
And she is Michelle Esquivel is paired with Olivia McMillan, solid right side, left side, Spencer Smith, and shocker, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rob Cassidy. Coming in to mix in with Michelle and Rob. So who do you think is going to play with who? Well, they have to. They have two lefties. They have Olivia and Rob. So Rob and Michelle are going to play together, and that is going to be interesting, ladies and gentlemen.
Fireworks. No, I think it's in terms of team construction. I mean, they have very clear cut left side players, very clear cut right side players. Spencer clear cut left, Rob clear cut right. Olivia clear cut right, Michelle clear cut left. Like, yeah, team construction wise, it makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I think solid. Yeah, all I got for you. Solid.
Yeah.
Like, no, well constructed. Obviously Michelle and Rob are, you know, partners in terms of life. Can I say that?
Sure.
I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense that they grabbed Rob at that last spot because, you know, chemistry is going to be good. Spencer and Olivia, I don't know if they ever play together, but obviously it works out for them because Spencer likes the left, Olivia likes the right. Not a lot of weapons there necessarily, but also not a lot of holes, and they're not going to miss a lot of balls. So it's going to be up for the taking.
Yeah, I think that a solid yet unspectacular label is probably perfect for this team, much how I would, describe myself in the pickleball world. Number three pick of the Challenger draft was Megan Fudge to the Dallas Pickleball Club. And if I remember correctly, I think that this was a pretty solid squad. Let me check the rest of their squad. We have Chuck Taylor. We have Brandon French, the best player in Dallas, which maybe had something to do with that pick. I do not know. And they finished off their draft with Krista Gacheva, which I honestly do not know a ton about. Do you know anything about Krista Gacheva?
I do not. I think maybe I've played her before, and I wouldn't even be surprised if she beat me before.
Maybe I've played her before, and I wouldn't be surprised. That was perfect.
That happens. I think, I'll tell you right now, I think Brandon French is a hugely underrated player. I think he is sneaky good. especially when he has a good partner. And I think, you know, that's the question here is who's going to play the left, because Brandon is probably better on the left. Chuck's probably better on the left. But I know Chuck said plenty of times, like, left, right, I don't care. I'll play whatever. So I would probably expect to see Brandon on the left, Chuck on the right. Fudge, you know my stuff with her. Like, I hate playing her in mix. She's a beast, and you can't attack her, and she's really solid, and she doesn't seem to get too confused with attacks and speed up. So she's a good player, mixed and women's and singles. So I had her probably slotted in like top one, two females. So them grabbing her there is a good spot. I think French, his duper is a little lower. So whoever is running the Dallas pickleball team, probably knew him. And I think you're dead on where, he got grabbed because his duper is much lower than people saw. And, Krista, and she's probably beat me in mix. Don't know much about her, but she's probably pretty solid.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've watched French just, you know, miss every other ball that he's hit for a match. But yep. I've played French a couple times, and the dude is not easy to play against. If he's playing well and he is, you know, not making a handful of those soft mistakes that he sometimes does, he's got some funk. He's got some very hard to read, interesting speed ups, and his hand speed is just fine. So I think French is a very nice player. And, you know, besides for occasionally going in the black hole and making a bunch of errors, which, you know, doesn't happen too often. I think he's a very solid pick, and I agree with you on Megan Fudge as well. I would say she's the best singles player in the Challenger draft for females. And I think that their team is pretty solid. And the next team up, Robert, the Chicago Slice, I also think is one of the better teams in the Challenger draft. They started off their draft with the number four pick, Susanna Barr, the dark horse, the net lord. And they went with Emily Ackerman, who I think is a pretty solid player. And I don't think a lot of people know that name, but I think that she very much deserved a spot in this draft. And then they finished off their draft with Connor Garnett, one of my, you know, kind of slight duper sleepers, as in he was a better player than where he was ranked with duper. And then they also have paired Connor Garnett with Ryler DeHart, a solid left side, right side combination. What do you think about the Chicago Slice?
Yeah, I think Emily's sneaky good, and she's playing a lot more this year is what I've heard. And I played mixed with her in Houston, and Emily's going to be good. I'm telling you, she's got a lot of power. She's not large in stature, but she can hit the hell out of the ball. And then Connor's a good upside pick. He was the first guy picked. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty big reach as their top guy. I don't think Connor was probably in the top 30, 40 available, but it's clearly an upside pick. Ryler is a good pickup as well. Megan Fudge, his wife, or Megan Fudge DeHart. I'm not sure if she goes by Megan DeHart, but regardless, she was clearly focused more on pickleball this year. You know, they have it's a full family affair, which is really cool to see them embrace pickleball and do the whole thing. But to my understanding, Ryler's going to be really focused on pickleball this year. So grabbing him as the final male pick is a great pickup. I expect, Ryler on the right, Connor on the left. Connor likes a two-handed backhand. I think they're going to be a good men's team. And I think in mixed, I would probably see – I know Susanna likes that left side, so I'd imagine she's going to play with Ryler, and I imagine Emily's going to play with Connor. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be a good team, man. I think they're even though, like, the men's picks are, like – I would say they almost have two number one females, because I think Emily's that good, especially when she starts playing a lot and focusing. So they have that kind of ingredient of two number one females, two number two guys, but the two number two guys both have a lot of upside and are going to start playing a lot more. So I think this is a team, you know, with the exception of Susanna, who's established and everybody knows what you're going to do with her, and it's, you know, she's very, very solid. I would have put her top two, three females in the Challenger League draft. I think you have three players with a ton of upside that can really do a lot of damage.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I said Connor Garnett is one of my sleepers, and that was more for a second guy sleeper. But when you take two solid females first off the bat, you're going to have to not necessarily reach, but you're going to have to pay the price somewhere. And to grab him with the first male might have been a reach, but I like their team. I think it's solid throughout. And I think that they could definitely be contenders here in this Challenger bracket. Moving on to the Bay Area Breakers, taking mm-hmm. Pablo Taez with their first round pick. Eva Radikowska, who I've only seen play singles. I have not seen her play doubles. And even though her name first name is EWA, it is Ava. And mm-hmm. we have Christian Alshon, non-dick swagger. He's just a dick swagger, whatever.
The non-dick swagger minus the non.
Minus the non. That's right. So obviously a ton of talent. Very young, very new to the sport, very good at tennis. So, you know, he could rise slowly or he could really bust out. So that's a full fledged upside play, and it could reap a lot of benefits if it works out. And to round out their squad, they have Rachel Summers, who does not play a lot. I had the privilege of watching her a little bit at a Next Gen event, and she definitely has some talent, very good at singles. Really good strokes, and she's obviously a total wild card because the sample size is very small.
Yep. I don't have much there because I don't know many of them.
Okay, so let's just move on to the next team. We talked about the Brooklyn Aces, the best team in the league, because they have Corinne Carr. Number seven, we have the Atlanta Bouncers, who selected with their first round pick Hunter Johnson. And they paired Hunter Johnson with Brooke Buckner out of North Carolina, who is very, very new on the scene. Was a fill-in pick with Catherine Parento a few weeks ago, and she has sprinkled in some solid results, but still a relatively unknown. And who are we talking about? Atlanta. We have Ben Newell, who was your partner for the previous MLP, a electric lefty. A little bit of inconsistencies can creep into his game, but a lot of firepower. And oh my goodness, Christine McGrath rounding out their squad. I haven't heard from her in quite a while. So that's solid to see her get in the mix with this draft. What do you think about that Atlanta team, Rob?
I mean, Atlanta is my hometown, Adam. So, you know,
I thought it was Conyers.
Conyers, GA, let's go.
Conyers, yeah, right. Georgia.
You know, the Atlanta suburbs extend like 100 miles every direction around Atlanta. So it doesn't matter if you're from Georgia, you're from Atlanta, is basically how Atlanta's grown. So this team, I think they're going to struggle. I'm going to just be brutally honest. we're going to play them first round. They're going to beat us. But I'm just saying, I think they're going to struggle. I think Hunter and Ben, you know, the good part is Hunter wants to play the left. Ben is a lefty, play the right. I've never seen Brooke play. I've seen Christine play. To be honest, I think they have, Hunter and Ben are good at singles. Well, Hunter's top, easily top 10 by, you know, of everybody in singles. I think they're going to struggle. I think they probably have two number two guys and two number two females. Is that bad? Yeah. Next. Sorry. Next. This is why I hate the podcast.
It's hard with stuff like this. You know, I had the somewhat friendly top 25 rankings a couple months ago, and now it's getting a little more serious.
Nothing's friendly.
It's hard. You have to, I mean, we're we're giving our opinions, but you know, some people take it with a grain of salt, some people don't. So it is one of the rough parts about the pod, but you know, we're just going to power through and keep on keeping on. So right, we got
so
Valhalla.
What's your take, Adam? What's your take on Atlanta? Don't just make me the only asshole here. What's your take?
But Robert, that's your role.
Adam, just let me be the good cop just for once. I just want to be the good cop.
Hey, I played with Hunter Johnson last MLP, and I thought we played pretty well together. So, I do think that Hunter is a little bit further along in his doubles game than Yates. I do like him on the left with Ben Newell, but when you were playing with Ben Newell, I saw a couple of those matches last year. And Ben, he can have some inconsistencies. He's going to do a random, like, crazy, incredible athletic. The dude's got bigger calves than my quads. You know, he's an electric mover, an electric athlete, but he does have some consistency issues. So I would probably put this team a little bit below average in this challenger bracket, and I'll just leave it at that. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, people.
Prove me wrong.
I want people to prove me wrong. If I knock you or I'm critical and you prove me wrong, I'll be the first person to shake your hand and say I was wrong. That's just how I feel right now. Moving on. Number eight, the Valhalla Volleys. I don't know if that's like Valhalla. Valhalla is like, isn't that like Vikings heaven for Vikings or something? Or is that Valhalla? Yeah. I don't know. But anyway.
No, that sounds right.
Okay. we have Bobby Oshiro or Oshiro. I apologize, Bobby. I'm not quite positive on that. A very solid female player. We have Callan Dawson, absolute men's doubles rock, improving mixed game. A little bit to be desired on the single side of things. We have Rachel Redker and Todd Fott. So Rachel Redker, don't have a ton of experience watching her play, but she does seem to be a little bit more of a, even though she's pretty small in stature, more of a firepower, go for your shots type offensive player. And Todd Fott out of Utah had a nice run or two in a couple PPAs earlier in the year, but I haven't heard a lot from him lately in terms of results. Met him at the Houston Open, seemed like a nice guy, but I would probably label this squad as solid but unspectacular as well. Kind of a middle of the pack ranking from me. What do you think, Robert?
Yeah, I would agree. I think big question mark for me on Recker. Haven't seen her play much. I think Todd's underrated. I think Todd's really good. Can probably make some questionable decisions, but very solid. Callan, you know exactly what you're getting. He's going to make a ton of balls. He's going to be, and he's very, very good at men's. I think the question marks is how they'll do in mixed and also how they'll do in singles, because I don't see a lot of singles firepower here. So I think, you know, for them to do well, they need to take both gender doubles.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I think that's a fair statement. And I've just seen, whether it's playing against or commentating or watching the streams, I've just seen so many more minutes and hours of these Premier League players that it's tough to just give a definitive description of some of these challenger players, because the sample size is so small and we just don't know. So I think that your assessment is completely fair. And, you know, just again, I'm just really excited to see it. And we're going to have some people for sure fall off the cliff, and we're going to have some people that really step up and play big. And, you know, that's what some of these teams are going to need. Number nine, we have the Texas Ranchers selecting MV Lee Whitwell with the number nine overall selection, pairing her with the Winter Soldier, Pat Smith. Their third pick was, I don't see, oh, Jeannie Iroquina, who I do not know much about, but I've heard a couple birdies in my ear saying that she is a solid upside play. And the rounding out the squad, we have Steve Podium Dinkin, the Canadian Beaver. What do you think of this squad, Robert?
I think they're a top three team in the league. I think I don't know much about Genie, but I do know a lot about Lee. She makes a lot of balls, thrives in the MLP format. Pat, super dangerous. Deacon, super steady. Obviously questionable singles team, right? Which, you know, I think a lot of these teams are questionable singles teams. But in terms of men's doubles, Pat and Steve will be very formidable. For Steve to go in the 40s, you know, what are we talking? We're talking 80s overall is pretty wild. I mean, the dude has been on so many podiums, and I feel this a little bit too. Like, he's been out a bit. He's coming back. He just got a bronze, I think, with Ignatowicz. Correct. And Steve's a player. Steve's a player, and to get him with your last pick that's a good team. Pat can be very dangerous in mix as well. It kind of depends on his health and how well he's moving and if he's getting down and if he's making a lot of balls. But Steve's great. Lee's great. Don't know much about Genie, so that's my big question mark. But I think this team is very, very good.
Yeah, no question. Lee, complete veteran, smart player out there. You know, definitely does not have what you would maybe consider a lot of firepower or a lot of court coverage, but in her area, she's one of the best out there in this draft. And the fellas, you know, full fledged veterans right here. And Pat's been around for a while. Steve's obviously been around for a while. Unfortunate that both have had a few injuries. If they're both healthy and they're both playing well, this is going to be one of the better men's teams out there. And I wouldn't consider either one a takeover type mixed player, but they've both had some pretty dang good mixed results throughout their careers. And they both have really quality hand speed. So I think this is a very good team as well. And if Genie steps it up and is, you know, right there in the mix, I think that this could be a contender for sure.
Yeah, don't disagree at all. I think they're probably one of the better teams in the league.
Yep, there you go.
Easy number drive.
What'd you say?
Arizona Drive. Let's go.
Arizona Drive. Wes Burrows, Sarah Ansberry, 100% third shot percentage. Just wanted to throw that out there. Andreas Siljeström, who I think played a couple tournaments with Joey Farias. And so I do believe he lives on the east side of Florida. And to Sarah Burr, the Australian, to round out the squad. What do you think of this one, Robert?
I don't know much what to think. I know obviously Burrows and Ansberry. I think Ansberry is great. Her stats in Columbus speak for themselves. She was one of the top female players in the entire event, and you know, slipped down to the Challenger League here. So I think she's super dangerous, really good. Burrows, a lot of firepower, great left side player. You know, a lot of effortless power that we talk about, ton of talent, just doesn't play full time. So that's kind of the question mark. And then Sarah Burr, Australian, don't know much about her. I know she's been on a stretch of some tournaments. Don't know what her status is, because she's been here, I believe, since maybe November, December. And if she's going to be here January, March, June, I don't know what we're looking at. I guess she's going to fly back and forth. So that's a big effort from Australia. but super cool to see not Americans in this.
Yeah.
Right. Don't know anything about Andreas. So I can't speak to that at all. Other than the fact that I guess that was a choice by Ansberry being on the East Coast. I don't know. I'm sure he has a good tennis background, but obviously not very established in pickleball yet because he wasn't really high on any of the deeper lists. So I think the big wildcard team, Adam, I don't know what to think, to be honest with you. I think Wes and Sarah will be a very good team. I don't know much about Sarah Burr and Andrea. So I think a lot to be determined.
Yeah, I agree. I know nothing about Andreas except for that little tidbit I gave that I think he played with Joey. And I have seen very little of Sarah Burr, but the bit that I did see, I wasn't terribly impressed. But like I said, it was just a game or a game and a half or something along those lines. And that doesn't really mean much. So, don't know much about the three and the four pick. I think the Sarah Westboroughs combo is completely formidable. So moving on. Number 11, yep. The Miami Pickleball Club. We have Alex Trong, Regina Franco. Why can't I see it? Jeff Warnick and Matt Manassi. Oh my. This is an interesting. Those fellows are questionable. I'll just go with that. Manassi was playing for a while, about a year, year and a half ago, and he kind of stopped. And he's the he does some commentary. He's the coach to the Stars. I've had some off court interactions with him. Seems like a pretty cool dude. I kind of like him, but I am not 100% sold that he should have been a pick in this draft, and I am also not 100% sold that Jeff Warnick should have been a pick in this draft, even though I absolutely love Jeff. He's one of my favorite players. Had some of my initial results in this game of pickleball with Jeff, but I would have to label their men's picks questionable.
Yeah, I think so. I was told that Manassi's the GM of this team, and I think they had the 46th pick out of 48, and Manassi picked himself is what I heard. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I heard Manassi just picked himself with the 46th pick. Adam, I will say this. One thing that I don't necessarily like about MLP per se is that you can own a team and pick yourself, and that you can also GM a team and pick yourself. I don't like that. I think there should be separation. I think if you own a team, you shouldn't play. I think if you're a GM, you shouldn't play. I think there needs to be separation there. Call me crazy, but that's my hot take on that. I think obviously the men are going to struggle. But again, I'll probably lose to them now that I said that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well.
I think it's probably one of the weaker teams in the league, just on paper, right? Who knows what can happen? Warnick can start chirping. I like all these people too. So it's hard to do this. It's hard to do these assessments and analysis, knowing that these are your peers, knowing that these are friends. But at the end of the day, like, I like doing this podcast, and I like giving assessments and takes for fans. So here I am.
Yeah, well, that's the benefit of being the good cop, is like you say something critical and they're like, that dang Rob. And I say something critical and they're just like, oh, Adam, no big deal. So that's one of the benefits of being the good cop. I think I agree with you. And I don't have any like super strong thoughts on the GM and the coach thing. And I considered putting my name in the draft, but I just kind of wanted to go the full-fledged GM/commentary route. And so that's what I decided. But I think I probably would have been drafted somewhere had I submitted my name and I was healthy. We'll see if that continues to happen in the next couple of years, or they kind of put an end to that. Maybe Rettenmeier's grandfathered in, being one of the first owners. So maybe they don't pull that card from him, but it's probably something that they should visit and kind of check out. I think you're right. It's tough. It's peers. We're in the mix. We're in this community, and it's not always easy. So last squad here, Robert, we have Columbus Pickleball Club. We have Millie Rain, Becky Ryan, Yates Johnson, and CJ Klinger. So I will also say that I would probably put this team at, in, you know, the bottom handful of teams. I think it makes sense they went with CJ Klinger because this is Columbus, Ohio, and he is an Ohio boy. Young buck, definitely has some solid talent, big, tall lefty. And that makes a bit of sense to pair him with Yates Johnson. I was a little bit surprised that Becky Ryan went so high. I think she is great, super scrappy, makes a lot of balls, you know, training down there in Southwest Florida. So, you know, not like a crazy reach, but I was a little surprised to see her go ahead of some of the other ladies. What do you think about this Columbus squad?
Oh, I didn't realize Becky went as high as she did. Becky went, they went back to that 12-13, Millie Becky. That's really surprising. Yeah, I didn't realize they went that. That's really surprising, especially since Regina Ansberry, mainly Regina went below them. That's pretty surprising. I'd be curious on who, that's all I would say. Surprising.
Okay. All right. Hey, Rob, you're in the dark. You're in the dark.
Adam, I'm so in my head about saying stuff. So I'm just not going to say much.
And no, fair enough. And
I've already gone hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is an hour and 45 minutes. So I think we'll just wrap it up with the draft recap. With just a couple very notable. Yes?
Are you going to talk about notable absentees?
Yes, with some very notable men absentees. You're kind of cutting out a little bit, Rob, and I have no doubt that there was a couple women as well, but there was several men that I was shocked that did not get picked. And I'm just going to run through a little bit of the list here. And, you know, a couple of these guys, very shocking. A couple of these guys, a little bit shocking. But we have Eden Lika, who I believe was like 18th or something like that in the actual Duper rankings. We have Altoff Merchant not getting selected. Joey Farias, Brendan Long, Shelton the Unicorn, Jean-Baptiste, Austin Gridley, Daniel De La Rosa, just to name a few. And I know I'm missing a couple, but six or seven or eight guys that I am very shocked were not in the mix. Mentioned it earlier in the pod that, you know, it's the Challenger League. It's tough, and we don't have a huge amount of information on some of these players. And there was definitely going to be a few more reaches than there was in the Premier League. But man, some big time names and some fellas that are pretty good, if not very good, in all three events that kind of got the snub in this Challenger draft. So interesting to see what you know, everyone has to say about that once these names get released tomorrow evening.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.